So just you and me?
It is.
Nice if we didn't even have to post it with only two of you.
We did.
So who has, who in this room are board members?
I got this from Fremont, California. They've microgridded all their fire stations, so they can provide.
That's where my cousin was.
Fremont. Yeah. Anybody else who's on board?
Yeah, right there, Tom Morgan.
So
this is what they've done on California, so I'm sure the fire stations are always available, even during a disaster.
Well,
it's a disaster. Yeah, how we operate.
So, just want to give the opportunity, Mr. Mayor, if anything you'd like to say to start this, and we're happy. We've worked on a little memo.
I looked at some of this, and our board, we met last week and talked about a consolidation, and all five board members were in favor of consolidating the city and district. And I certainly am. It's something during my career over at the city we tried to do three or four times and we're never able to get it done. The last time we tried, one of the main reasons it did not pass was, of course, the mill levies and the increase it would have had on downtown businesses. And that was the reason for its being unsuccessful at that time. Sometimes, at the times before that, we had some district board members that weren't in favor of it, unfortunately. But I don't know, we may have run into the same obstacles at that time also. So that's where the board is with it.
Diego, I don't know if you had any other, we wanted to share with you a little bit more information on process.
Okay.
And any other
Director? Truthfully, my two cents are thank you for having us, and thanks for having this conversation. While I'm mayor, I'm going to defer to Councilman Jim Miles on any input he's got from our board.
Sure.
He knows this much better than I do.
Yep.
Well, I agree with everything Dennis said. I mean, it's about time, and you know, I don't know how to get it out to the public on you know, if you want good fire protection and you want things to go smoothly, it'll cost you, and you've gotten away with a good deal for a long time. And you know, me, for a business person in town, my taxes, I'm for it, my taxes are going to go up considerably. And there's only one way to run this, in my opinion, the way it should have been ran, especially with nothing about volunteers. So that's what we need to get out there to the people. You know, if we didn't have the volunteers doing this, we'd have to pull the district in or just absolutely not have the fire service anyway that we have now. There's been other areas around us that no man land. I'd hate to tell people you're no man land, you're no longer in our district. We can't continue this way. I mean, this is something that Dennis and I worked on for 30 some years. Well, the beginning of our careers, we didn't have a concern, but once we realized what was really happening. So we need to brainstorm this and figure out how to get it out to the public. How to get a good service, continue a good service, because we have it now. And if we don't continue to be progressive, we're going to lose what we have. It's harder and harder to get volunteers. You have to give them a reason. Some people, not the people I served with. And so in the last 6-7 years, things have really changed. So we got to look at how the world's changing, to get the thought process in and get the word out on why it's so important now. Because it was important before, but this is a time it has to be done, because it's just going to continue to get harder and harder to get volunteers, running out of substandard facility like this. And, you know, when Dennis and I were brainstorming stuff in the early 2000s, right after 9/11, we were able to get the mill levy raised. And at that point, we was shooting a video for the people, and this was absolutely unintended, but in the video, I put my leg up, my foot up on a beaver tail on one of the engines, and it literally broke off. And I hope we can find that in the archives, because that's how bad we were then. And since then, with that increase, we've been able to get great equipment, but then the equipment's bigger, and Shane Ryder, we're lucky to have. One day we was pulling out, and the door was caught on a truck he was getting in, and it should have killed him. It didn't injure him, as far as I remember, but it should have killed him. And now we have to be so much more cautious getting stuff out. I mean, there's things that we need to get out there. Sorry I'm rambling, but, you know, it's not a want. It's absolutely a need.
We didn't do a good enough job on the last, for sure. We didn't get the word out as to exactly what was going on with the station and the volunteers, and we've got to do a better job of that.
So are we talking today about consolidation, or are we talking about the facility and the bond?
No. Would it be helpful just to kind of frame purpose, and what staff would love to share some things, some information with you to help you think about. But that the question for today, thank you for asking that question, is are the district board and the city council interested in having a discussion about organization and structure? When I first got here, Dennis, I remember sitting down with Dennis, and he was trying to describe to me how three organizations, the City of Gunnison, the Fire Protection District, and the Volunteer Fire Department, all work together to make this happen. And it took him a while to explain this. I did the same thing with the county manager last year, and it's complicated. Yeah. Now, in saying that, and Jim just said that, it works, and I mean, particularly the leadership of the district should be commended that you're bucking the trend. You've got volunteers waiting. You're providing a high level of service. So we should recognize that. But it's difficult. It's complicated to describe, particularly when you're talking to voters. So the reason why we wanted to come, so thank you very much for your time. And just a quick time check. Do we got a hard stop at 1 o'clock? I know we lose Hugo.
I don't think so. I think it's just me that has to go.
Okay. So we can go a little bit longer than Paul.
That's fine with me. That's
good. You've got to get back. So we just wanted to share some information. We've learned some information we just learned this morning, speaking to Jim Collins. He's one of the best special counsels for districts. The city's worked with him on the Gunnison Rising Metro District. But that's the fundamental question is there an interest in looking at a different organizational structure to support fire services? The answer to that is yes, then that sends us in one direction in terms of a ballot initiative. If it's no, it sends us in a different direction.
Yeah, but the two are tied together.
They are.
And, yeah. So, I'm not sure that combining the district solves your financial needs.
Not entirely.
No. Well, I mean, essentially, you're taking over everything. The 400,000 we're going to have to shift into roads and streets. I mean, there ain't any way around that for us, because we won't, when you're increasing the tax burden on every resident and every voter by double in terms of the portion that the city has, that becomes real. So, and if you go in with a vote where all of a sudden you've added in essentially the same amount plus a little more, or now I can afford that, and probably most people can't, but then you're starting to get up into $100 a month on small businesses, and that could be a big difference for them. And so that may be a hard sell, but then you got to come back and raise the mill levy once it's consolidated. That will be even harder, so, you know, because people think, whether regardless of the message we put out there, you solved your problems by combining things, you know. You got everything under one roof, now you can do what you need to do. And the first thing you want to come back and say you want to double it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, at that point, okay, just simple math on my house, which is slightly above median cost now, it'd be an extra $214 a year. Okay. You compare that to a 1 cent sales tax, which covered money for fire station along with it, I'd have to spend $21,000 in the city in order to generate that much money off a sales tax. I spend about half that. So, from just a pure standpoint of what's cheaper, okay, in terms of generating the money, the sales tax does it easier than property tax. That shouldn't be the only thing, but that will be something that you'll have to buck, and that won't be easy.
Yeah, and we talked about those same issues. Our board did, and we were kind of, how do we do this? How can this happen?
Again, a resource we found, we chatted again with Jim Collins. Council knows him. I don't know if the district board has ever met him. But he's a good strategist, a good lawyer in this. He ran through a couple of scenarios. Some ran some similar concerns that Jim just shared and some different ideas. So he's somebody, if you wanted to pursue this, I think he'd be a good source of information for you to think more critically about this. If you would like, we'd love to share a little bit about the process, just to get you to critically think about, you know, what does this look like if you wanted a different organization? There's a legal process, and then Ben has done a little number crunching, which he's known for in terms of just the numbers and, you know, some of the questions that Jim just spoke to. So again, today, if you said, yes, we're interested in this, we'd suggest this is just the start.
Right.
And the next step, if you were interested, would be kind of doing a little timeline and a little decision tree about the steps you would have to go through legally to affect that. The touch points with the community where they would have to make decisions and have public votes on, and see if you are still comfortable with that idea. Or you may tell us, nope, it's worked, it's fine, don't spend any more time on this. But we wanted to share quickly process and then share a few numbers that we've analyzed today. Is that okay?
Yes.
Before we do that, Russ, can you tell us why the city wants to consolidate?
I don't know if we've made that decision.
Okay, you haven't as a group.
So I haven't heard that.
Okay. That's not a decision that's been made.
Okay, thank you.
That's the one open for us.
Okay, hi everyone, it's Kathy. So procedurally speaking, there's two ways to start the process. One could be that the district board determines that it would like to absorb the city boundaries into the district. Or two, we go through a petition process where, in this case, it would be 200 petitioners, residents, taxpayers of the city, sign a petition requesting inclusion into the district. And then from there, the board would provide notice to everybody that would be affected, which would be all city residents, property owners, that is, and conduct a public hearing on the issue of inclusion. Or if you determine by the board without the petition, you still provide notice, hold a public hearing. So either way, a public hearing, public input process. Presuming that the board determines then after that to move forward with the inclusion, it makes that notation essentially, files it with the court, which would be the local district court. Then the court orders an election on the inclusion process. And depending on the vote, and it would be for the registered electors within the area to be included, depending on the vote, the city is either in or it's not in.
So that's just a city vote and not a district city
correct.
Vote.
Correct. It's just okay. for the areas to be included.
Okay.
So if there's anybody else, you know, that you're picking up along the way, they would be part of that process as well.
Okay.
But basically, we're talking about the donut hole.
Yeah.
Would be part of the election. If the election goes forward, like I said, if it's passed, then city's in the district. If not, then it's not.
And if the city was in the district, then the mill levy would be automatically applied?
Yes, whatever obligations, both mill levy, debt obligations, operational, any of that exists at the time that the city becomes part of the district becomes a burden of the new part of the district.
in that we would need to contemplate an intergovernmental agreement that would deal with who owns the firehouse, the $3 or so million in rolling capital that's in the bay there, you know, how do we deal with administrative support. So that's a level of detail I'd suggest we don't need to sweat today.
Right.
But that would be an important detail to work out.
And along with that is employees and the maintenance of the trucks and all that would
right.
have to
fire,
be worked
the
out.
The volunteer fire department itself.
Yeah.
Yep. That sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had some additional in chatting with Jim Collins. You know, there's an additional level of detail in terms of timing that's kind of unique to special districts, but I don't think we need to really get into that level of detail today. He did have some good thoughts in terms of alternative strategies. But
yeah.
Anything else, Kathy, you would want to share?
Well, I
today?
Think it'd be good to know the time frame. So,
yeah,
for one, I mean, you guys, the district could hold an election on the issue as early as May for the mill levy within the district right now.
Right, and we talked about that,
yeah.
And we don't want to.
We don't
do
think
that.
So. You know, I'm just sharing.
You think that'd be rushing
yeah.
it?
Yeah, that
you
would
could
be.
Do November, but you also have May as an option, or it could be the following May.
Right.
In order to collect taxes for the year following the election, so in order, it, for example, if you had an election this year and you wanted to start collecting, you'd have to have it this whole inclusion process done by July 1. Now, you could do a mill levy increase and commence collecting taxes whether it's May or November, that isn't going to matter. But if you're tying the inclusion with the whole process, that's a July 1 deadline. So,
and when we kind of play that out,
it's also very tough.
It's,
so
yeah.
You're probably looking at a 2024 effective date of beginning to collect a mill levy.
Right.
When you play those dates out.
Right. Do we want to talk about
yeah.
Jim's idea? Or
let's hold that for,
hold
maybe
okay.
hold that. Ben, would you want to kind of share kind of to Jim's points around mill levy impact on voters, maybe just share some of your high-level research?
So I completely agree with all Jim's points. There is a big difference with the types of properties that are in the city and in the district. For instance, in the city of Gunnison, it's about a 50-50 split on residential versus commercial. And there's only about 3% vacant land as far as valuations in the city of Gunnison. The total assessed value in the city of Gunnison is $111 million. And then on the district side, about 60% of the valuation is residential. Only 8% is commercial. So you have a big disparity on the commercial residential splits between those. Total valuation is about $183 million in the district, so it's you know, a lot larger as far as total valuation, 20% vacant land. So one of the things that Jim has expressed in the past is there's a different assessment rate based on what the state legislature sets. Right now it's 7.15% on residential, and it's 29% on commercial. So you end up almost four times as much tax on a commercial property, which is what you kind of referred to as that really can penalize businesses. One argument against, you know, looking at that is that, you know, you can't let weird legislative, you know, factors tie your hands on providing services. You know, that's something that is a problem that the state legislature needs to fix. But there definitely is a reality that the commercial businesses would be penalized to a greater degree in the city of Gunnison because of that differential on having so much commercial at 49% in the city. And then he's right, you know, it's hard to tell what a home value is right now. You can but talk about $500,000, yeah, it's about $200 a year for a residential, if you were to...
And to be clear, Ben, that $200 would be maintaining status quo.
That would be if you were going to go to around that 10
I was
mark.
Just, yeah.
About that.
That's the 10 mil.
Yeah, okay. And then if you have a business valued at $1 million, that's about $1,600 a year. So much more impact on them.
Which is what we ran into in the past as well.
So,
and you're, you know, depending on the cost of construction for a fire station, I know you have other things that, you know, if you have remote stations or some other costs that you may want to cover, but just the fire station alone, depending on the costs, again, on the design and what's included, what's out on the design of that, you're looking at probably needing around $1 million a year for debt service.
Well,
just to kind of keep that in mind. And in order to generate that, you need about that 10 mil.
We haven't raised our mil since. And at the time we did
raise
it...
What year was that, Dennis?
It was like...
02, 03?
Yeah. At the time, we were the lowest mil levy in the state for a district. And we were hurting. I mean, we could not buy a fire truck.
And we can look at the rest of the state, but in this county, I mean, you're not even half of what Crested Butte is.
Right.
You're not even half of what Mount Crested Butte is. You're less than Marble. You're less than Pitkin. You're less than Arrowhead. You're about half of Carbondale.
We have not kept up with inflation. The district has not.
Just shared what's kind of both sides of that. You know, when we chatted and jumped in, Kathy, because this got complicated fast as we spoke quickly in 20 minutes. He kind of ran through a couple scenarios, and again, this is from Collins. And I think, he would be a good person to talk to directly about this in terms of strategy if you're interested going further. Is, you know, one idea he threw out was first the district do a 5.5 increase in mill levy just for the district. See what the voters say. Again, let's remember, too, that we were very, very close with both ballot initiatives. And this was with very little communication occurring in the district. So that was one idea, go to a 5.5 and then do a, this is a little different than what I was thinking, but I could see the logic in it. And then go to the voters within the city and say, hey, this is the package, this gets you the fire station, this brings the district into one, here's the cost, and you know, again, you just heard the numbers in terms of the impact to a commercial property in a residential property. And the other would be deal with the structure first and then, you know, pursue a vote for, you know, generating that $1 million a year for both the district, kind of the one district without the donut hole in the middle. So we can run that out, you know, in terms of, you know, what does that look like from a time frame? What are the pros and cons? And so if you said, we're still interested in this idea, or we really want to pursue it, we probably would do just a little timeline and a decision tree for you to think about this a little bit more critically.
So we would get in touch and do this meeting with Mr. Collins through you?
Yeah, we got to talk about that a little bit. Right now I'm the fire district attorney and the city, so
right.
We need to split that out a little.
You're everything.
That's it's not working great at the moment. And I think the city can certainly facilitate, you know, that first discussion point, because that's going to help also drive which way, you know, you guys decide to head.
Yeah, I mean, if city council was interested in, and again, I think that's, given what you just shared about the district board, it sounds like the decision is to the city council in terms of whether you want to pursue this further. If you said we want to pursue it further, we probably would sit down with Jim Collins and do a little, here's a summary of the next steps, here's a time frame for that, and see if both
sides
were comfortable.
And then if you look at what the district has as far as employees, I mean, I know right now Tom's and our maintenance people are doing both city and district trucks. They are certified to do so, and that takes a very special certification to do that. And I know Hugo is doing like I was. He's investigating fires in the district and fires in the city. So, you know, just employee-wise, it's better for the community, no question, and the district. I mean, it's a plus. I had to share my time and write down every single hour that I'd spend in the district, and then I'd do the same for the city, and I'd bill the district, And then when Hugo came aboard, he built the city. I mean, it was just a mess. Well, you remember part of that. It was so much fun doing all that. And we don't want to see that.
It still is an administrative burden. I mean, it is. You're splitting costs all the time.
Yes, yeah. We are. We are. And to have one budget, I mean, doing two budgets a year was always a good time also. You'd go to the city budget, they'd say yay on this or nay. Go to the district, they'd say yay or nay, and you never knew where you were going to be on either budget.
I think the bottom line was two governments have never been more efficient than one government. You throw two governments in, making decisions, and exactly what Dennis was talking about, how is that going to be more efficient than just having one government?
One entity.
One entity.
To cover specifically fire protection.
And didn't the city just, you know, $1.4 million on a fire truck that sits here?
I wrote the check. I authorized the check, yeah.
I mean, how is that advantageous to anybody in the city?
Well, and we just did the agreement between the city and district that we can take any of the trucks anywhere.
Yeah.
Whereas we were down there on the floor as firefighters going, no, you can't take that truck. You got to take this one. But we could really use that one. No, you can't take that truck. You got to use this. I mean,
at least we stopped that.
We did stop it, and that was a good thing. It's really helped. And that just shows you what a consolidation could do as well, in my mind. It would even improve on that.
I just wanted to share, too, Erica, we're going to be sharing tonight, you know, a draft survey. We're going to be asking for feedback from the community on both ballot issues, both roads and fire. We have a question. We have some open-ended questions, yeah. But we got a question on this. How did it turn out, Erica? We had a real challenge writing it.
Yeah.
You're sending this out?
So this is a draft survey council will look at tonight to solicit some more feedback from the community.
So the question is, there have been discussions about an alternative organizational structure to provide fire service to the city of Gunnison and adjacent areas in Gunnison County. Please select the structure you feel would be most effective for Gunnison residents. Then there's three choices. One is the fire district should remain organizationally separated from the city of Gunnison, but work closely with the city, kind of our current structure now. Mm-hmm. Number two, a large single fire district should be formed to include the city of Gunnison and adjacent areas in the county in its operation. And then there's a fourth option, that the city of Gunnison Fire Department and district should operate completely independently of one another. Or the fourth option is, I don't have enough information to form of an opinion.
Can we get two fire stations if we do that? Yeah, I want two fire stations if we do number four. Right, so next to each other.
It seems like there's two. I mean, there's we know what brought this discussion up this time, but it seems like there's two elements. One is consolidation just a good idea?
Right.
And then two, how does that get dealt with as far as funding in the future? So.
Yeah. And I just wanted thank you, Kathy. I was going to say the exact same thing. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't look at a new structure because of one ballot initiative. You should look at a new structure because it's the right thing to do. It either creates efficiency or it doesn't create efficiency.
Mm-hmm. But you can't. The thing you cannot do is make a decision that takes you 10 years down the road to get enough money to build a new station. Mm-hmm. That's the tough one.
Yeah. I mean, I put a whole bunch of it. Caulking on this roof myself, and it's still this building is not going to last that much longer. It's a metal building. We ordered it through an outfit in Montrose that did them at the time, and if you're a builder, you know how long metal buildings last as opposed to just a wooden frame building. A lot less time. No, I mean, it's obviously we need a station. We didn't make that clear in our last at all.
And then that's, yeah, I mean,
There's lots of things that are needed, but I think there's lots of things to do prior, just like you're talking, prior to anything happening with the public formally.
So we're going to be getting a little bit more intelligence from the survey.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And we have some open-ended questions, and hopefully people share their thoughts about, you know, why they did or didn't vote for the initiative, and we'll learn from that. So we're not asking for any sort of final decisions. It's just today is more, and again, given what the district has shared, it's more of a discussion and deliberation with the council, and you don't need to make a decision today.
Okay.
But next steps would be giving you a little bit more, both groups, a little bit more information on next steps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's needed.
Timing is important of that, though, because I think the city wants to understand, you know, how are we putting our arms around the road issue? So we've got, you know, maybe another month or so to figure out strategy and really think critically about, you know, are we doing something in November or not?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you've got road issue, we've got mill levy issue. And you agree with everything involved, but we'll talk to you.
Well, that was one of the primary factors of choosing to go for a sales tax, was because of that property tax issue. But then potentially some of the district voters may have voted against your issue because they felt like they were double taxed when they go to City Market and pay the sales tax for the city and paying the property tax out in the district. So,
right, but you know, you got a truck sitting out there that's almost totally sales tax. It is totally sales tax.
Right.
I mean,
it is.
That's
yes.
Yeah. And trying to explain all of these nuances and other things, and the legislature, the only thing that they can do is reduce the assessed values because they cannot, under Tabor, increase mill levy, which is the tax rate.
Right. Yes.
All they can do is reduce it in terms of assessed values. So it gets into a complex question, which is why they went through and on the ballot question last fall, basically, hey, it isn't all commercial properties you guys are writing about because it only affects these little portion, which was motels and lodging establishments.
You're probably going to see more of that stratification.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but, well, what you're going to see is somebody come back and write an initiative that basically takes that option away from the legislature.
Yeah.
You know, drop. And then everything in the school district, they're the ones that really take the big hit in that, because they're already significantly underfunded. Because who thought that when you put in a factor to increase the amount of money you get could be a negative number? That was brilliant. But that's what they did.
So it does have the effect is worse in a rural area because you don't have as much commercial evaluation like you would in Denver or something.
And we felt that, definitely.
Yep.
And our accountant is here as well, just to add some more voice to this.
I'm just listening and taking in.
I
thought he was our lawyer.
Well, at times I am.
There's a lot of advantages to a consolidated district.
Yes.
But you don't want to have all those advantages with no resources.
That's right.
My instinct is think hard about getting the rate up ahead of time before you come into the city.
Yeah.
And
you like that idea, Jim?
I think that look, what I hate is I go here in 2022 and say, okay, you're going to have a new tax rate that's 4.5 mils, okay? Whatever portion that is, that probably raises my residential by $150 or something like that, okay? Mm-hmm. Then you're going to come back and say, that wasn't big enough. We're going to come in with an even bigger one, and you're going to try to do that in a time frame that gets you a building built in this decade? You're going to do that? What's wrong with these guys? They're asking me every month for another $100, you know, or $200 or $300. And if I'm a small business person,
right,
that becomes, well, they wanted $200 this month this year. They want $1,000 next year. What do they want the next year? Time enough.
It never ends. Yeah, I'm not voting for anything ever.
That's what you don't want to end up into, because at that point you've lost what it's being used for, rather than
exactly.
And getting all of that out. I mean, our biggest problem is people are driving down the street and it's not a pothole. But once things collapse, okay, it isn't throw $2 million at it and you have all new structure again. We're forever behind.
And the last time we went for our mill levy increase, we used a company out of Glenwood to assist with a lot of the stuff we're talking about as far as getting this word out and getting it out in the right manner to the right people at the right time, just all of that.
And that's really important from a timing standpoint.
Yes.
In terms of one other pragmatic thing, we need to figure out, because of we have all sorts of legal complications as elected officials. You have complications just simply being volunteers, but we've got to have an organization that essentially functions as a political action committee that consolidates money and works uniformly across lines. Because if we just piecemeal it, people won't put the jigsaw puzzle together.
No.
So Jim, I think, kind of framed the idea that Jim Collins shared with us, which now that I think about it, maybe seems, you know, more direct, more transparent, is, you know, again, the district pursue, and again, we can play both scenarios out, you know, a 5.5 mil increase, you know what you got in the district, and then you test it to the city voter, and you're asking two questions, here's the mill levy, and here's an organizational structure, yay or nay.
Here's the other piece of information that you got to overcome. If you come in with 10 mils, right now, I think the mill levy in the city is 58.1 or 2, okay?
Yeah.
Mils, all right? So when you throw in 10, you're at 18% increase in the mill levy, which translates for most people an 18%. Increase in the amount they pay. Mm-hmm.
And if you just kept the same mill rate, you get $490,000 is all you get.
Is that what
the
4.5? 4.5. And you need to get that up close to a million to cover the costs that you're losing that the city currently is contributing.
Right. I mean, realistically, what that brings in for us is enough to continue operating as we do now and have money to replace the ladder in the capital budget. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's it doesn't change anything for us.
Yeah, that's status quo.
It doesn't get you to a station.
Well, it's probably status quo with the city still supporting administrative functions.
Yeah.
In the salary.
Yeah.
So, any other thoughts from our city council? And again, we can continue to talk about this.
One thing I think we need is information on council is sort of take a 4-year period and trace out how much money we spent for what with the district. Because that would include a truck, that would include, I think we did something else, and then
there were two trucks.
The other truck, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that would include, that would be at least a good baseline of how much money is really there. You obviously know the figures better than I do, but you know, I just remember $600,000 was the biggest thing I ever authorized to be a check. And I did that twice. So.
Well, and the city, once, or the district, once we got started getting employees, we follow the city's employee handbook with all of them.
Oh yeah, we need that. That helped.
Just so council knows that as well.
Hey.
We didn't rewrite our own handbook.
You can steal that anytime.
Yeah,
no,
I stole a lot from the city.
That's the greatest compliment in the public sector is plagiarism.
It's in the paper.
I took a lot.
Take out the word plagiarism. We love to share.
I didn't take any documents share, when I left the city.
No. Okay, it's technically so not even plagiarism because it's technically work product produced by a public entity, so it's public domain.
Yep.
Although you did come back yesterday.
I did come documents. Back and go through my documents yesterday, by the way. I didn't have boxes, though, with me. And
so, Jim, you talked about...
I'm going to get myself in
trouble. You talked about timing. So the city, it's just getting more and more expensive for the city. They say no to streets.
Yeah,
okay, we need a firehouse. The school district, oh, we need this. Yeah. And you're talking millions and millions and millions of dollars here. Oh, is the county, are they vying for tax money too?
They have mumbled about it a couple of times.
I've heard.
But they, I don't think
they have the same street issues that we have.
Road and bridge.
But the problem with the county is if they do a property tax and use it on road and bridge, then you have a municipal share back issue where they have to give some money back to us. And so that's why they use, you know, PILT money and other sources of revenue for road and bridge.
I think the topic of housing will continue to come up, whether there should be vacated. We've heard from the school district, unless something has changed, the district will pursue something in November.
They haven't decided. We're leaning that way big time, but I don't think it's
that's not a final
we're
decision.
Going
yeah.
forward.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
But there's so many,
Dr. Leslie.
So many things happening right now. Nobody wants to get in. We don't want to get in your way of passing something. We don't want to get in the school district's way of what they need, and certainly the firehouse. There's all these needs.
We're at the point where we can avoid it, where you can't avoid having multiple issues. Otherwise, you start. Here's the problem: when you put off the school money off of last year, which was a decision that you made, then no problem with that. You basically started saying, well, we don't need everything that we were talking about. Mm-hmm. And that now becomes part of the base against you. And so the more you put it off, or you put something on the ballot and then you wait 2 years or 3 years to come back, people say, well, see, they really didn't need that anyway. And so, if it truly is needs, you need to be out there and you need to be persistent. That's my opinion. And you got to deal with what are the consequences if you don't do it? And that's something that people are not seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And the consequence of, people say maybe we should be, that gets off the topic today. So, but enough of that.
I think, Jim, you make a good point there to piggyback off that consequence of it not happening. To me, it sounds like we've got a room full of people that understand the issues well. We see the need, we understand, still learning how the back end part of it all works and what's preventing us from moving this forward. And though simplistic, it sounds like it's just in many ways a challenge to educate the public on the fact that this is direly needed, right? And what's the strategy to educate them? Various, I'm sure. I think a key takeaway here is that we do need to just keep having the discussions between ourselves and figuring that out. The district figure out whether or not that mill levy increase first or later. Keeping this on our radar, I guess, would be the better way to say it. So that it gets the attention it needs, and then we can trickle it out through our channels to hopefully move it forward in whatever way it is.
Well, we're certainly, as a district, open to that, and we meet on Thursday nights. I think we could share the meetings, some over there, maybe some of ours here, to discuss these matters at formal meetings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's just an observation. Somebody relatively new in the community compared to others in the room is, right now, and Hugo said it well, is the structure works now because there's a good working relationship. Mm-hmm. Finance director, city manager work great with Hugo and with you previously, and that's the glue. So, you know, do you have an organizational structure that continues to set you up for success regardless of, hopefully those relationships are always good in the future.
Right.
I think for us on the city side is, you know, from, and again, you don't need to make this decision today, but I do want to highlight, given our experience, we really need to know where we're going in the March time frame.
Yep.
We'll be getting you some survey information, so we don't have a lot of time to make a decision about whether we pursue something in November or not. Well,
in reality, information has to be flowing consistently from all organizations now, period. Now is the time. It takes a long time to reach people. Usually they have to hear some four or five times before it even penetrates them. And it takes time to get that out. And
Well, I'd like to say, you know, first of all, thank you guys for the thing. And Jim Miles gave me a great tour of this place early on and really opened my eyes and made me realize the need is dire. And I'm in total support of it. When I looked at the packet, I looked at the information, obviously consolidation right off the bat made total sense to me. But then it came around what Jim was talking about, and Dennis mentioned too, just paying for it and the burden on our business community. And that concerns me with that group. Now, we just missed. I mean, the margin wasn't too far off of how many votes countywide, district-wise, we were off with 9 votes, 8 votes, and 108 or whatever for the city. So we're close. And I think there were a couple issues that happened personally shortly before that that turned off a lot of potential people to vote. And I think it was that close. And I think if we play our cards right, message it properly, I mean, if anybody sees this, this town deserves a much better facility. And, you know, unfortunately, we have a short amount of time to figure out how we're going to present this to the public. But I think we need to really get on the stick and get that messaging out there and I don't know, you know, I know you guys have had open house and things like that. People see this. That tour that Jim gave me was just jaw-dropping. Yeah. I'm like, wow. You know, this is, and, you know, it's used a lot. Mm-hmm. It's not in very good shape. You know, it needs to, I mean, it could go on a couple more years like we were talking about, but we deserve, you guys deserve, the city deserves to have a crown jewel, you know, in a really nice facility and the one that we can like for, you know, next 25, 40 years, however long they last.
Well, and we didn't get all our statistics out there, even the over 300 calls a year and the kinds of calls were going on, all the things that this department covers.
We learned a lot. There is one other thing that you ought to think about. One of the things that people talked about with sales taxes, can we sunset it? Now, if we're looking at a scenario whereby you have a consolidated district and a appropriate mill levy to support the district, whether that's 9.6 or 10.2, I don't know. You'd have to crunch numbers a lot closer than I would. There is one thing that and that could take you to get to 2026 to start doing that and have it all working together. We could, as a city, put on a small sales tax, okay, that would generate X amount of money that could go to the new building and sunset it like 5-6 years down the road. That would make it far more palatable to the average person out there that it's a short-term deal, but it gives you bridge money. And it's something to think about as when you start looking at it, well, gee, maybe in 2026 we can start collecting the money we need to build it. That means bonding it. Who knows what costs will be then. Hopefully they'll level out and stay more stable. But there is that possible consideration. 5-year small sales tax, whether that's a half cent or a quarter, you know, 4/10 or whatever, bend from the crunch numbers, that would generate money that would be dedicated to a new fire station.
And then put off the consolidation?
Well, we'd be running the consolidation and the other stuff while it's going on.
Well,
and, see, in other words, if you could get your mill levy passed, then you have the joint money that you need to start, then do the consolidation, come back in and say, hey, the sales tax will go bye-bye, and we'll actually sunset it earlier once you can collect it. So it's a thought. I don't know how we sell it, but it is a thought that might give you more flexibility.
What would you use? Like, let's say you did it for 4 years. When would you use that? You wouldn't be able to get a bond for a building without some kind of revenue stream that supported the entire life of the debt service.
Yes, but one of the things that they could do is they could, in essence, start doing all of
design.
You could break it up into phases.
Yeah, you could break it up into phases. You could, if you're starting to work on, you're going to take out parking lot behind you to do foundation work, that can be separated out. So, you know, and then the formal bond when you got full line out there. But it would get you started a couple of years earlier.
And you do have some money budgeted for this year. I mean, that was something, again, we'll be able to quantify better what happened, but one of the things we heard we needed, and we heard this too about the road, you need to be more specific about the road, what you need the money for, how much is going for sidewalks. So, you know, we heard it on that side, but on the firehouse, sounds like you got a little bit of money to refine the design.
Okay. We're just, from our perspective, right now waiting to see, are we going to be working on the consolidation versus fire station.
So. Yeah, so you need a decision on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, again, for our council, you know, I think the question on the table would be, do we spend more time looking at this organizational issue, kind of playing it out both from a financial and structural standpoint? What does that look like in terms of the actions we need to take? What does that look like? I think we've kind of already played out what the property tax look like. Mm-hmm. How does that compare to sales tax, the impact on the individual resident? Would you like us to play that out a little bit more?
I just need more time to lots of things to consider here. It's.
Would you like some more information?
I think it's the fundamental question on the table.
Yeah, just some more. So many paths. It's hard to decipher. You know, could go so many different ways. I mean, limited number of ways, but it's one leads to the next, and I think it's nice again to have communication to understand what strategically makes the most sense for both parties.
Would it be helpful?
Though it is on us to decide right now too.
So that's the way I'm kind of thinking. There's multiple pathways. Mm-hmm. And if we could kind of illustrate what those pathways are from a procedural standpoint and a financial standpoint, would that be helpful?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Has the city pulled or talked to the business owners and say, here's the pros and cons of consolidating, it's going to cost kind of, are they willing? Okay.
So we haven't even had that conversation. The first one was, I'm aware of previous personalities on the board, and, I think we heard real clearly from you that you're interested in this question. So we haven't done any work on the issue.
They've done about as much as we have, and it just came up to us, so there's a lot to be done with both the board and the council.
Yeah. But that's, I guess, the question is, would you like us to do a little bit more homework and draw out what those different paths look like procedurally and financially?
I think that's great, but then again, we have to look at that timeline, too, and it's like, time is of the essence, and we need to get on the stick, so to speak.
For our council, it would be, there would be a point in March where you might say, okay, we're going to work on the structure of the fire district. That may take 1 year, that may take 2 years, and you're separating that from the road question. Yeah. They might be interrelated, where you might say, well, let's take the $400,000+ and apply that to the road issue? And then do we fill the gap with something else? So there's a couple pathways there, and we could give it some more thought and just literally draw that out a little bit like a map. Yeah. And you can decide which pathway you want to take.
Right.
And I, the worst case scenario is we end up with everything ready to go, and everybody says they don't want to combine districts.
Right.
That's
the worst thing you can end up.
Because basically at that point, you spent a lot of time and energy that got you where we are today.
Yes. It might be interesting to think about, you know, mill levy increase for the district as a starting point. There's pros and cons associated with that.
Well, the advantage is that you have, if you went this year, the advantage primarily would be that you already came within 10, 12 votes. Right. Where you'll have greater participation in this election than you did last time.
Well, and we've got to sell it that that's not just for the station. It's for our operation.
Yeah. And
to survive.
And how it works. And so the advantage is you sort of got some people already sold on it and thinking about it. The problem is that then you'll have a group of people who'll come back and say, we voted no, it's over. You know, I mean, so they want everything one time and one time only. And given needs in real situations, that's not, in my opinion, a responsible point for people making the decisions to put stuff forward. You can modify it somewhat, but it doesn't. It does not solve the need, and you can't wish the need away. And people would love to do that. Hey, cut my taxes in half and double every service that you got. Yeah. If I could do that, I would be in Disneyland, and I'd be charging $42 a day to come through the door. But, okay, plus everything else.
Now, there's a point that I think is important as regards to our ability to campaign for or on behalf of the district, for ourselves, etc., and that's the concept of this political action committee, or finding an entity that can uniformly campaign for everybody. And I think something that comes to mind, and it's a real human angle of this, and it's the fire district and the city asking for help. You know, you guys are constantly helping people, I think, asking for help, and I'm certain there's going to be individuals out there that are going to be willing to put forth the time and energy to drive that pack in one way or another, whether or not they're involved with either entity. I think we could find someone to help us on that front. That's not related to anything except at all, but you know, just a general thought for everybody to think about. I think it's okay to ask for help, yeah. But I think we'll find energy in that community to
that's do good idea, Diego. I think I'm going with that. Sources that are out there that
people
are willing to. Do you guys, how much do you support the airport? There's an issue with the airport.
We're mutual aid with them.
Okay, so you work hand in hand with those guys?
Yeah.
I mean, is there, you know, one observation that I have in this area is the money that is in that airport, I mean, the private owners of some of those planes are out there, just is amazing. And the multitude of multi-million dollar homes in this county, and it just seems like the percentage that they are getting hit with the tax or whatever just doesn't quite seem fair compared to the commercial district or the, you know, the even our small little industrial district.
But
man, I wish there was a way we could.
Unfortunately,
my third house is up there. How can I?
Yeah.
We
tried
that.
You know, we have tried that. And it
like,
did not work.
But Bo, you also are making me think too. You know, timing is everything. Having the right message, and in terms of the right message, and this would be for council board members, it's just the gut check. It's do not move forward if you do not feel comfortable selling this personally in the community. If you can't all do that, don't proceed. The other component too is, you know, think, too, and I've heard this from a number of people across the state, in terms of fire issues, given what happened in December, you know, I think there's a strong message there. Now, and I think, too, the thing that would need to be further developed, and it was there, but I don't know if we could have done a lot more in terms of communication, is just the direct impact, particularly on those homeowners up at Taylor in Ohio, that without you guys thinking and planning for the future, they're probably not going to have, I mean, getting homeowners insurance will be very difficult in the future. And you've got a game plan in terms of how to ensure people can continue to get insurance, and that's worth a lot of money.
And that will even hit residents in the city.
Yep.
Given areas.
Yep.
And something to think about with the Gallagher Amendment or remnants of that is that the whole state is in that same boat.
Yeah.
And if you're a subscriber, and when Gallagher originally got passed, was to prevent your residential property taxes from getting out of control. So the service costs what it costs. And it's just a matter of how you distribute that among whoever's paying it. And, you know, so your commercial property taxes are higher, but all of those commercial business owners, if they live in this community, they also pay residential property taxes, and that's lower. So, I mean, a lot of that that's out of our control, and while it plays into your decision process, it's not something that every other community that has passed a much higher mill rate than we have hasn't already grappled with.
Yeah. And got one other trend working against us. As of 2021, almost 1 out of 5, 18% of Colorado's population is now retired. And we've seen increase in retirement throughout your district and inside the city. The city is a little bit behind in that compared to immediately outside the city. But when you start talking about that, that group of people tends to vote in higher portions, and they tend to vote on straight cost. Value is not necessarily something that they think about until you put comparative costs. If you can compare, well, we can fix a road and make it so that you don't have potholes, or you can go down to a standard and pay $100 to get a new front end alignment every year. It'll be less if you fix the roads. Until people see that kind of comparison, it's going to be tough.
What benefits me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we've run into that with the district and the outlying areas. How's this going to benefit me?
Yeah.
And therein lies the reasoning behind you go working a lot on remote stations.
Well, and that also
and the insurance issue.
And that
as
helps
well.
ISO
I think the insurance does that's
huge.
That issue.
That's big.
That's yeah. You want to pay $100 in additional property tax, or you want to pay $500 in additional fire insurance and not be able to rebuild?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
That's the other part of Louisville is not being able to rebuild.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts? So, again, is there interest in us further exploring this, or we would just assume status quo on structure and
good luck.
Proceed with that?
Hopefully they do well.
I think we move forward. I think we need to go to firehouse, and I'm ready to.
But you would like us to look at pros and cons of structure?
And then all yes, and definitely.
Okay.
And they're also talking about tweaking the understanding and the.
Yep.
The
roads
aren't
as bad that way.
I looked
on that side, so you should be fine.
Yeah, no, I would support that as well.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Take care. Jim Miles, would you like us to continue to think about what this looks like with an organizational change and create some alternative?
Yes, in the Fire Protection District, they need to know what they want to do. I mean,
yep.
And then we both need to support both organizations, each other. I mean, it's so complicated, and living the nightmare for 35 years, it's not complicated to me. I know what needs to be done, but how do we get that out there to the public and make it work? And we've got to get a plan, and this should have been worked on a long time ago, and we wouldn't be at at the crunch time now.
And the question for our next board meeting is going to be, what do we do first? Are we going to do this mill levy as sooner than later?
And I think
and
that
so that they don't conflict with each other as bad as they could, certainly. And Jim brought that up.
It's a reason. It's not an easy question.
No, it isn't. No.
I just, again, with council's permission, that we share what we do and what we work on with the district board, it seems at this point we need to have our efforts coordinated.
Yeah. Should we put the district in touch with, maybe not Jim per se, but a special district attorney that Jim would recommend?
Yeah, otherwise you got
that. I think that would be very, we're giving you legal advice. We're probably need.
Yeah,
I appreciate that's cheap.
That's right.
Well, but you get what you pay for, too.
I have to keep track all my time,
you get
too,
what you
so
pay
it's
for.
Either fire district or city.
Yeah.
Anyway. But I think it could really benefit the district to have special district counsel just to talk about the same processes, and then the two attorneys could work together as well as necessary.
Kathy's getting a little uncomfortable working for both.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I don't think it's presented a problem yet.
Who's side are you on?
Exactly.
I'm on both sides. You can see the problem.
Can you bill double then? Or?
No.
That's definitely an ethical issue.
She actually seems to be the Roman god Jim.
Yeah. Well, the district used to have at one time, and it's the only time I can recall, we had an attorney on board as needed basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's worked up to this point because of, what I describe as the incestuous relationship between the three entities. Like, if I'm talking to Hugo, am I talking to Hugo for the district? Am I talking to Hugo at the city? Am I talking to you at the city? But, in order to get it set up right, and for, I think, people to understand what is the current situation and how it could change, mm-hmm. it would be good to start making that very clear.
If only we had a journalist in the room to share.
If only.
What did you say?
If only we had a journalist in the room.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
No matter how you write this.
We used to have an attorney that was a volunteer firefighter that we relied on quite often. He's gone, though. Remember Wyatt Angelo?
Yes.
He was on the department for 19 years.
Yeah.
And then he never did get his retirement. He never finished up 20 years. No. He just said, no, I don't want it. Yeah.
Well, it's nice to be in that position.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, we did confer with him quite often.
When again is your next board meeting, Dennis?
Third Thursday.
March 14th.
Okay. And 6:30.
Okay.
Here? Yep.
Do you eat as well?
Yes.
Tacos?
When you gotta cook like you go, then yeah, you eat every once a month.
That's a French benefit. Any other questions? Anything else you would ask us to look at? Again, so just to summarize, make sure we've got our marching orders. What we'll do is we'll kind of lay out a couple of alternative paths. One would be status quo organizationally and what that might look like. I mean, that could be a blend of sales tax, which we had in the previous ballot and mill levy, and another path, which I think could take a couple of different routes where we do have a consolidation and play out, I think, at least two scenarios with that. So we'll see organizationally, what does that mean? And from a financial standpoint, what does that mean?
The advantage to the city is that essentially if we solve the fire district problem, we've made a big hole in our street and road problem.
Yeah.
Doesn't solve it, no. But it moves it in the right direction significantly.
Do a patch plan in there, maybe we're close?
No, we're going to. I'm still saying we ought to be buying the asphalt grinder to convert it into hardback. That's probably, right now that would be more useful for us than asphalt. Grind it up, pack it down.
Recycle it, yeah.
But anyway,
anything else? Great, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate
it. Thank you guys.
Thank you guys.